vacation again. Mapping out a plan, but the map never showed the danger down the road. We felt the camper shaking as the earth was quaking. There's nowhere to hide, it's the ride of our lives. Now we've crossed the line, fallen through time, living in the land of the lost. What a world we found, deep underground, living in the land of the lost. This world is strange and new, see the triple moons. But don't you turn your back, you'll become a snack. Cause some Tyrannosaurus could be hungry for us. We'll need to make some friends, the wonder never ends. Now we've crossed the line, falling through time, living in the land of the lost. We opened the door and found dinosaurs, living in the land of the lost, living in the land of the lost, land of the lost.
Welcome back, listeners, to Vital Information for Everyday Life. This is your Aunt Jessie.
This is your Uncle Jesse.
This is your Moonbeam.
And we have a special guest here tonight with us.
Who is this?
Hi, I'm Sam.
Welcome, Sam.
Or should you say, hey, Sam. That's a throwback to our Clarissa Explains It All episode.
It's true.
She had to use a ladder to get in here, so it's, you know.
Well, she didn't have to, but we did make her.
We forced her, is more like it.
And Sam got our shout out last episode because she gave us some awesome videotape finds that we used for our roundhouse. So thank you.
You're welcome. They're family heirlooms.
She's the holder of the tapes. So, and we forgive her, even though she's an avid Rugrats fan.
It's true.
And this is a perfect opportunity for me to tell you live on the air that there are 74 more shows that we could do as a podcast before we ever had to even think about doing an episode of Rugrats.
Yes!
And that's not, that's only counting everything that ever aired on Nickelodeon between 1990 to 1999. It's not even like you can't do that on television.
I'm going to be there when the Rugrats episode does happen,
though. In 4 years.
In defense of Rugrats!
You know, there could be a holiday miracle.
Maybe.
And we could jump that ahead, but we'll have to just see. You'll just have to wait and see.
So 74 shows, you guys.
So what are we talking about today, Jess?
We are not talking about Rugrats today. Today we are talking about Land of the Lost, which was not originally a Nickelodeon show, for those of you out there who are sticklers, much like David the Gnome and Fred Penner. Land of the Lost comes to us from the land of ABC, where it originally aired in 1991, but it made its way to Nickelodeon in syndication in 1995.
Today we're watching an episode called Dreammaker, which has a special significance for me. I am extremely excited about doing this episode today, because before our podcast was even a thing, when I originally thought of the idea for this podcast, this is the episode that I wanted to do. So I am ecstatic that we're finally getting to it.
Why does this episode have such a special meaning to you, Moonbeam?
Because this is the only episode I've ever seen of this show, and I've seen it at least 6 times. Now 7. And it always terrified me equally as much every single time that I watched it. And I never understood what was happening because I had never seen a single other episode of the show. So
this episode doesn't make anything real clear.
No, not at all.
And I used to watch this show.
Yeah.
I watched it too, but I had a very vague recollection. So this almost felt new again.
What about you, Sam? Did you watch this show?
Oh, definitely. But it's probably been a good, 25 years at this point since I watched an episode.
That's very probable. As the original air date, this is from season 2, episode 15, Dreammakers, and it originally aired on September 19th, 1992. So it could have been that long ago that you've seen this show. The theme song came back to us very quickly, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We instantly had, like, you know, some part of our brain open up and release the contents of this theme song.
It's true. I will say that when we were watching the theme song to this episode, we all kind of came to the conclusion that this is now, it's no longer a 90s nostalgia Nickelodeon podcast. This is now just a Land of the Lost podcast.
We're going all in.
Yeah.
The show is bonkers.
I am invested in Land of the Lost. So for those of you that don't know, this is not the original Land of the Lost, obviously. Sid and Marty Krofft have been playing around with the idea of doing a reboot of Land of the Lost for a while, and they almost made one in the 80s. But then for some reason that didn't happen. So they finally got the go-ahead to make this reboot in the 90s, which, you know, then spawned several more reboots of the show for some reason in the future. I don't really see why that was necessary. So it's basically, you know, fairly similar to the original Land of the Lost, but updated for more modern times, 25 years ago.
And they do give you a quick rundown of what's happening in the theme song. Yeah. So, like, they're a family on vacation.
Much like the original theme song.
Yeah, and yeah. They fall into the earth, but it's not in the earth. It's another planet?
It's like another dimension. basically.
Yes. Prehistoric dimension.
Yeah, sure. Where they have three moons mm-hmm. and zero fucks to give.
They live with creatures from that.
So many creatures.
Yeah.
And dinosaurs.
Well, they live in a sweet yurt treehouse.
But, like, it's just, they open on a photo of it. Yeah. And then suddenly you're in the scene.
It's true. Yeah. It's
so I don't know that they actually built a treehouse.
It was the existing treehouse from the original series. I just really wanted to use it again.
Swiss Family Dinosaur.
Yeah, it was very, very Swiss Family Robinson-esque. It
reminds me of, like, Gilligan's Island by way of that other ABC show, Dinosaurs.
Yeah. This show, we have been talking about for the last, like, 10 minutes of how similar the show is to Dinosaurs. So much similarity. Not only, like, I think Henson Creature Shop must have, like, just made a double of the baby dinosaur.
The mama baby. Yeah, it's totally, like, Tasha.
Yeah, totally. Looks almost exactly the same. I don't know. There are just a lot. And the show was on at almost exactly the same time on ABC. Get it together, ABC. What are you doing?
I would guess that Land of the Lost maybe didn't have a budget as high as Dinosaurs. That's just my opinion.
Seems plausible.
Yeah.
Should we discuss some plot points?
Yes, yeah. Let's.
All right. So we've already established that they live in a treehouse, and this episode opens on Tom. Is it Tom or Tim?
Tim
Bottoms is the guy's name.
Tim Bottoms.
I like to call him Mullet Dad.
Timmy Bottoms Mullet Dad, a.k.a. Tom.
He had a beautiful perm.
He did. He had a beautiful permed mullet.
It was sweet.
And yeah. Hasselhoff-esque mullet.
And he's asleep in his treehouse. And he's having, like, a dream. He's kind of like, you know, like a dog when you can tell they're dreaming because they run in their sleep.
He's dreaming about traffic. Like, you just hear a bunch of, like, rush hour noises. And he's, you know, tossing and turning.
Thrashing.
Yeah, trying to figure out what this traffic noise is. And then you hear a cop car and start to see kind of, like, some red flashing lights.
Yeah, we see the flashing lights and everything, which seems impossible for a prehistoric treehouse, but...
Yeah, so he wakes up out of his horrible nightmare about traffic, looks around, discovers there is no traffic to be had, and no cops, thank God.
And so Tasha, the weird dinosaur.
Yeah, so he goes outside to make sure that there's no cop cars.
Yeah.
And he's accompanied by Tasha, who is, as we previously discussed, looks like the not the mama dinosaur from Dinosaurs, if the not the mama dinosaur was, like, a nude child.
Yeah, no, I recently rewatched Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Have you guys seen that? You know, Nation?
Yeah.
He looks like the mini Nation when the guy splits into two.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
It's creepy.
It's a deep dive on Bill and Ted, I'm sorry.
All of us felt uncomfortable about both of the animal characters on this show.
It's true.
Yeah. But basically, Tasha's speaking is just like, it's like just incoherent babbling. Also, Tosh eats all of their food. Yes. All the
constantly.
Time. Constantly.
Rip off from the Flintstones.
True.
Because they had a dino disposal.
They sure
That's
did.
True. And Dino sort of also talks like Tasha.
Uh-huh.
The dad and the dinosaur, the weird dinosaur baby, are standing outside like, it was all a dream. And then it's the next morning. And we do see Tasha the dinosaur eating everything and being called a dino disposal.
They gave him a taste of ice cream, so I mean, it was their fault.
It's
right?
their fault. It's once you start feeding them table scraps, they're right? just always
did they
gonna
not
pick.
See gremlins?
Yeah.
So now that it's the next morning and that we're at the coconut breakfast table, eating out of coconut bowls and listening to like a coconut radio for the coconut morning rush hour, we get to see the whole family all together. So we meet. We already know about Tom. Per Mullet Man, who is
Tom
wearing
Bottoms.
Yeah, Tom Bottoms, Timmy Bottoms, and he is wearing dad jeans and a tucked in t-shirt to go with that mullet. We are also
Classic.
Introduced to Annie, the sister, who is wearing overall shorts, and she has both of those overall straps done up because she is prim and proper.
Uh-huh.
And she has these giant nerd glasses.
Her glasses are amazing.
They kind of look like your glasses, maybe.
I loved them.
The
bigger the better,
yeah.
I would say.
But then we also get to meet Kevin, who is the cool dude brother of the show. And he's wearing like JNCO jeans and like a short sleeve plaid button down, so
yeah, it makes him look like he has a giant long torso.
Yeah. He's also listening to a Walkman and sweeping at the same time,
right?
I mean, as you do.
They appear to have all of their technology from the times they're from, which I am having, like, it's probably explained in some other episode, but like, did they bring all of that shit with them on their camping trip?
You know how you're just going on a family camp out and you bring your TV
right.
and your radio and your portable TV.
And your Walkman.
Right? And
yeah.
batteries to just run them whenever you feel
indefinitely.
Like. Yeah.
Indefinitely. Yeah. Like, I don't understand the setup of their yurt.
You know,
it does
they didn't,
not make any sense.
They didn't have a mom in the family to be like, honey, I don't think you need to pack an entire suitcase full of batteries. So
right.
This is what happened.
Well, it's a good thing they did because they wouldn't have a TV in caveman times. Or whatever. So, my favorite thing about Annie was like her bowl cut bangs that were just straight across.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Very, like, and I thought maybe she was gonna have a bowl cut all around, but she had a very long, like, black ponytail and these bowl cut bangs. Hilarious.
It was.
So, after breakfast, they all decide that they're gonna go. Fix a car for someone?
They've
got to
fix the carburetor
yeah.
in the Jeep.
Sure.
Yes, because it's broken.
How do you think it broke?
Probably they just drive their Jeep around all the time.
They can't
for
do
home.
They can't do routine maintenance because there's no like prehistoric AutoZone.
Yeah.
I mean, that would slow me down.
You mean they hit like a dinosaur and it crashed the carburetor?
It's possible.
Maybe.
Man,
it
was
probably
about,
Scarface.
It had to have been Scarface.
Yeah. From what it sounds, Scarface.
He came and poured sugar in the gas tank.
It sounds like they knew him, so
Scarface
there was
the T-Rex.
He's very mischievous.
And I was like, thinking about the daughter and her glasses and how much that would suck, because like, you would never get another pair. So,
yeah.
Like, you'd have to be so careful.
I had time now.
Right?
So, yeah. So, they go outside to fix the car. Dad starts telling them about his traffic dreams that he started having. And Kevin looks over at the car. Oh, wait, no. I'm skipping ahead.
Not really.
Okay. So, Kevin looks over at the car and realizes that there's a parking ticket on the windshield.
From the city of San Francisco.
Which is where they're from.
Oh my god.
And it was issued about the time that he heard the noise.
And the dad picks up the ticket and he goes, oh, this is today's date. Like, how the fuck do you know the date and time? Did your coconut radio tell you? Like, you're just guessing. You don't know.
He's an expert at sundials.
Perhaps.
You just didn't see him this episode.
That's
yeah.
the vacation. That's what they were doing on vacation before they fell into the earth. They were on like a sundial tour of the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a real thing. Look it up.
So then all of a sudden, they feel kind of like an earthquake. And the dad says, oh, don't worry. That was just an aftershock from yesterday's earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
All right.
Was
cool.
That like
no biggie.
Right. Thank
That's
you.
Every day, apparently.
Right. That's when we got to hear the most amazing slash horrible theme song of all time, which we love dearly.
It's true. I would have put it on my mixes. I could hear it all the time.
We had to listen to it multiple times because we liked it so
Not
much.
Even to learn the words of the song. We
no.
already knew them. We knew them in our hearts.
They were embedded in my soul.
Yeah.
there were some pretty sweet dinosaurs in that, though.
Mm-hmm. In the theme song? Yeah, and they're all stop-motion dinosaurs, which I thought was quite ironic for you to bring this show to us today, Moonbeam.
Yeah, I did not remember there being so much stop-motion in this show. I guess I had blocked that out of my memory.
It was traumatic.
It was uncomfortable, for sure. It wasn't so bad, because, like, people faces are the worst thing for me, but, like... Yeah, and they were on for, like, extremely short periods of time every time. But, yeah, no, it definitely made me uncomfortable.
Well, you got through it. I'm proud of you.
I think it was worth it. Yeah. The show was definitely worth it.
The show is definitely worth it. I want to watch so many more episodes.
I really liked how the theme song, like, told a story. It was cheesy but super fun and will probably be stuck in my head the rest of the week.
Then we're back in the, you know, fancy glamping yurt that they live in. And, Kevin is watching some, like, home movies of, like...
Yeah, all he's got... They have a TV. They brought a television, but they didn't bring anything to play in the VCR that they also apparently brought.
Yeah.
But they did think to bring a video camera, so they've just been, like, filming weird home movies of all the strange animals they meet. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there just watching them. And
just watching stuff that happened not all that long ago. Yeah. Like you do. That's interrupted by his favorite TV show that he was really missing watching. The Turbo Twins.
Turbo Twins.
Who the fuck are the Turbo Twins?
I don't know.
The Turbo Twins are some sexy crime-fighting ladies from the 1970s.
Okay.
He only likes them because they're sexy.
Yes, that's what
he has to say. But then she also calls him a nerd. So it's basically like, ha ha, nerd, you like girls.
Takes one to know one.
This is also kind of where we get introduced to the giggling monkey.
Oh, good lord. Yeah. No, we haven't talked about Stink at all yet. I hate Stink even more than I hate Tasha, and I really don't like Tasha. Stink is a tiny ape man.
I captured him as a male pattern baldness chimp guy.
It's sort of like... All right.
We can end.
It's basically like they made a chimp costume out of pubes. Fiery not red. Even like thick pubes, like just
like
kinda...
fiery red pubes.
Yeah.
I wonder if he uses Pert Plus.
He must.
It had a lot of body. So
now Stink, I can't tell if he's like the juvenile of his species or if he's old enough to like make more of his species because it's just. He's so fucking weird. He somehow picked up some English, but he doesn't ever talk. He, like, shrieks everything.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, me stink, you in trouble. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah. It's pretty rough. Really bad.
Very unnerving. And they named him Stink.
I wonder how he smells.
Great, I bet.
So terrible.
Totally not like a pube monkey. Twins, how can this be happening on our battery-operated television? How can it be happening, you guys?
Stink fucking did it, that's how.
Oh, my ribs hurt.
So, Tom is all of a sudden like, oh, maybe yesterday's earthquake created a gateway between our two worlds. This could be our ticket home. And you're like, the fuck? What? Excuse me? The earthquake created what now?
How does he know that right away?
Yeah, so like, this is what I'm saying. So I've never seen any other episode of this show. So I think my theory is that he's like a geologist or something and he actually knows a little bit about seismology.
See, it's funny that was your theory because it was at this point in the show that I started to develop my own very strange theory about this show. And that is that, have you ever seen that movie, The Village?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure this dad is just gaslighting these children. He just wanted to live in a treehouse, so he kidnapped the kids.
Well,
he ran off into the wilderness, and he's like, oh, you can get TV shows? Oh, well, it must be the time rift, and not the fact that you didn't move far enough away from society to live
in
your era.
You could be right.
Yeah.
So what happened, like, with the fall and stuff? Was that, like, they were drugged?
I'm not sure. You know, I think I'll need to watch some more episodes of this show. But I think I have some more proof that happens later in this episode.
All right.
They were just going off-roading.
Oh no, it's scary!
Yeah. Well, no. So he decides they have to go find where this gateway has opened in the world that they live in. So the only way to do this is to carry the TV around with them in through the woods.
Like
and
it's a
stuff.
Compass.
Yeah. Okay, so it's battery operated?
I guess.
I mean, must be. I guess they don't have electricity in their yurt, right? So probably everything is battery operated unless they have
solar,
like solar, wind.
Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. Solar powered camping TV? Because I have not.
I want one if there is.
So yeah, right. The whole family goes walking through the woods.
Oh, but they have to go walking because, well, I hope you weren't planning on taking the truck because I never fixed the carburetor.
Oh, dang it.
Wait, yeah, but so what about Krista? We have to bring Krista with us.
Who the fuck is Krista?
We'll never find out.
Yeah, they're like, we can't just go wandering through the woods with these weird cryptozoological nightmares we've stumbled across. What if Krista comes by and sees that we're all missing? And then that's all we ever hear about Krista.
They never mention her again during the course of the episode.
I don't see why it was important for them to question what they would do in the event of a Krista showing up at their house.
Right.
They just have to leave a note on the door.
So
it's fine.
They go hiking for not very long. What,
no.
It doesn't seem like it's more than an hour
or two. It's
probably
like 20 minutes.
Yeah. And
the dad's
they...
just leading him in a circle throughout the woods.
Oh, but I left all those breadcrumbs behind us. So they're just walking for like a very short time and they just happen upon their old neighborhood.
Just in
you
the
know,
woods.
Just kind of like walk out of the woods and it's right there.
I mean, that fits your theory.
Yeah, it's true. Kevin goes, am I dreaming? Get it? Because it's called Dream Maker. Uh-huh. Where's the audience? We're starting to understand. Family has no idea.
They see their house. It's right there across the street. They run right in because obviously you just leave all the doors unlocked all the time.
Stink the Ape Boy is like jumping on the couch shrieking.
Yes, but Tom, Dad, Mullet Dad, is skeptical.
Oh, he's immediately skeptical. Yeah. He's very suspicious, checking everything out, because there's nobody around at all, which should have been a clue right away. But I guess if it's like the middle of the day in a suburban neighborhood, I don't know.
Also, though, it's like season two, so they've been in this like alternate dimension for quite a while, and I'm pretty sure their house would not just be in the same state that they left it in.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same as when they left it, they said. Of course, Kevin immediately, as the teenage boy, goes to see what's in the refrigerator, and Tasha, the disposal, immediately also goes to see what's in the refrigerator.
There's a really, really, really uncomfortable scene of Kevin feeding Tasha an ice cream cone.
Like a drumstick.
She's like gingerly putting it into her mouth, and she's going, ah, ah. It's so fucking weird and gross.
And that creates a monster.
Yeah. Then Tasha sees everything in the entire refrigerator. Okay, but you're gonna walk into a house that you haven't seen in 2 years and just start eating stuff out of the fridge?
The dino went ham wild.
Yeah, he did.
I want a drumstick. That looked pretty good. Anyway.
So then Stink is, meanwhile, he's moved on from assaulting the couch. He's now assaulting himself with a vibrating electric toothbrush.
Yeah, that was so weird. On his fur and stuff.
He's like, ah! Like, ugh, everybody's just shrieking and touching themselves uncomfortably.
He gets into a fight with the hairdryer. He's like flushing the toilet.
He scares himself by flushing the toilet.
There is so much, there's some zaniness involving some fake fruit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
Tasha wanted that too.
Yeah. Tom comes in and said, you know, guys, like, we have to go back to the yurt tonight. You know, it's much safer there. Like, we don't know what's going on. I'm very suspicious. It's just not right here.
And this furthers my theory.
Yo.
He's like, no, we can't stay in this house. No, it's not safe. We have to go. Only the treehouse is safe. Come away from this house. He didn't mean for them to find the house.
Hmm.
Yo, Dad, look around. We can't just jam.
Okay, then.
Obviously,
response.
Kevin, the cool dude.
Obviously, it's Kevin's greatest dream to be home in his house. And we're starting to pick up on a pattern here, is that they're having dreams and those dreams are coming true. And my question is, if it's like their greatest dreams coming true, then why is the dad dreaming about like getting a ticket? Is there like a hot, was this a sexy dream?
I think
there
was like a hot just, lady I cop? I think they're just dreaming about their lives in the past. I don't know. Maybe he had a lot of cop anxiety, maybe. Like some of us have, you know? Like, maybe, you know, maybe dreaming about scary traffic accidents.
He parked on the street a lot and got a lot of parking tickets. That's
probably it.
But, like, maybe he had a crush on the parking ticket cop.
There we go.
Because, like, we haven't known about mom in this episode. That's so true. Maybe there wasn't a mom. Maybe he was really into the meter maid,
right?
And so like, he would like purposefully park his car to get
tickets. Is there anything I can do to get out of this ticket? Anything at all? That's the dream he was having.
So they decide that they're going to come back in the morning, which was very confusing because previously in the episode he had said, oh, we have to get to the portal right away before it closes and this is our only chance. And then he's just like, nah, it's cool. We'll come back tomorrow. It's all right. I'm sure it'll all still be here, you guys.
That's cult leader tactics right there. I'm telling you.
So, the next thing we see is them sitting around the dinner table with their coconut plates and bowls and having a discussion of, like, how is this possible? And, you know, how could this possibly happen? And Kevin says, well, you know, all I was doing was thinking about home and then all of a sudden it was there.
And then it was like, me too!
Yeah.
Me too!
Yeah.
Like, everybody was thinking about home, and then suddenly, here's this replica.
Yeah.
That's called The Secret. I wrote a whole book about it.
Is that what The Secret is?
Yeah.
I never knew. It's making a replica of your home in an alternate dimension?
Thinking about it real hard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You manifest.
Okay, all right. So...
they go back to the house the next day.
Yeah.
And Dad decides he's going to go check out the garage, and he leaves the kids inside, and the phone starts to ring.
Oh, it's probably just Scarface calling to see if we made it okay.
He's such a good friend.
Yeah.
He's always checking in.
We don't know who Scarface is still at this point.
No, we don't.
So that was a little confusing. They finally, Kevin decides to answer the phone. And it's their dead mother calling.
Oh, so what the hell?
Is she dead, though? Or did the dad not want to pay child support? He kidnapped the children, took them away, and she's tracking them down via, like, private investigator.
Or is she buried under the house somewhere?
Ooh, poltergeist style. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, poltergeist seems plausible considering what happens next.
You mean all the stuff falling down in the garage all of a sudden? It just starts flying off the shelves.
You guys, the phone mom is secretly evil. The garage is evil. The fridge is evil.
The fridge.
The couch is evil. Yeah, the fridge just starts spewing food.
The thermostat is evil.
It's true.
It gets turned up to like 110 degrees.
The garage door slams on Dad's foot and like traps him.
He is gonna have to like 127 hour style chop off his leg to get out from there.
It's almost as if it is no longer dreams, but perhaps nightmares.
Well, don't worry, you guys, because Stink is back at the yurt eating all of their food.
Thank goodness for Stink.
How do these people keep up with the food supply of feeding these two stupid animals that they keep around?
Krista,
they're
hunter the gatherers.
Yeah, Krista handles all of that.
Okay.
It's time for a quick fashion update, I think, before we go back to Stink.
Oh, yeah,
because
sure.
Annie has changed her shirt, but she's still wearing jean overall shorts. I don't know if they're different or if they're the same, but she still has overalls.
It's a bulldog interruption.
God damn it. Anyway, Annie has new overalls on now. How many did she pack to bring on this trip? It was just a short little vacation. Kevin is wearing a sweet tie-dye shirt, and Dad is still wearing dad jeans.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I will say, I do like the fact that they built in the plot device of them packing extra clothes for vacation, so when they change clothes in the past, it's not weird.
That's thorough.
So, as I said, Stink is eating all of their food.
And watching their TV.
Suddenly, yeah, notices on the TV that they are being attacked by a house.
They brought two TVs.
There's no, they didn't. TV. I don't think they brought the portable TV.
I'm going to go with they brought multiple TVs theory. They seem like that kind of person.
So, all right. So there, he sees them on the TV. He immediately goes to help them.
He's just watching it all. He doesn't immediately go. He's like watching this all happen on TV. I feel like maybe this is his greatest dream.
Yes, those humans are getting attacked. So Stink is sort of, you know, going to help them.
But they're not, like, it's not like they're really in any immediate danger. Like, other than the dad, you know, having his foot crushed or whatever. The kids are in the house, and it's getting a little bit warm, but also the furniture is just, like, rocking back and forth at them. Or, like,
no, but then...
moving very slowly towards them.
Gas started spraying out of the vent. They showed, like, a cloudy stuff spraying out of the vent directly onto this poor house plant that was just being blown away.
Poor plant.
They're literally being attacked by this house.
And then they show the houseplant again, and it has died from the gas and the heat. It was very important to show it multiple times, I'm sure.
They spent a lot on that job.
Yeah.
The entire budget for the show. So Stink finally gets to the house and sees Dad trapped under the garage. And the dad looks at him and he mournfully cries, Stink! And like you can tell in that moment, he really regretted naming this weird creature Stink. He seemed very regretful.
So Stink manages to free Tom from under the garage door, and I don't know what they wound up doing to get the front door open, but they finally managed to get the front door open so the kids can escape. And then once they're all out, they suddenly see Scarface, who we discover is a T-Rex.
In stop motion T-Rex.
Yeah.
Just chilling in the suburbs.
Hanging out. Chasing people down the street.
He doesn't care if this is a dream or reality. He's a dinosaur and he's got people to eat.
I would also like to point out that the suburb that they live in does not look like it would belong in the San Francisco Bay Area based on the architecture style of the houses.
It was very Midwestern.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, another point towards your theory.
Right?
Yeah, it could be the village.
He just told them they were from San Francisco.
He planted the ticket.
Right.
There you go. It was Scarface. Scarface put the ticket on the car.
Scarface is gaslighting all of them.
So Scarface chases them down the street and into a cave.
you know, the cave that's just at the end of the suburban street.
Yeah.
And the cave is full of cobwebs like a haunted house.
Yeah, they're just everywhere. And so then Tom is like, oh man, is there going to be another way out of here? And I'm just thinking to myself, like, well, can't they just wait until the dinosaur, like, gets tired and goes away?
Yeah. Scarface never rests.
Right? Is he just going to camp out there until they come out?
Scarface has no dreams. That's why he can run through dream suburbia with no ill effects.
So they go deeper and deeper into this cave, and Annie starts getting a big headache, but then everybody else starts getting a big headache too.
The cave was full of radon.
Yeah, there must be something going on in here. Yes, you're being poisoned.
It's a really sad and abrupt end to the series when they all died of carbon monoxide poisoning, but I just feel like it was really sent a powerful message.
Right. So they, like, walk up to this weird tower pillar thing.
It's like a pyramid.
Yeah.
An altar, almost, like.
And it has, like, a glowing top, and then they look around it, and it has these crystals.
Full of crystals.
Crystals inside.
Glowing crystals.
They assume are controlling it. They know nothing about this device. Theorize that it was built by the Sleestaks when they used to live on the surface a very long time ago. They don't fucking know. How would you know?
They also don't explain what the fuck is a Sleestak.
No, this is the only time Sleestaks are mentioned in the entire show. They don't show one. Yeah.
So what do you do when you find homoerotic crystals? Start jerking them off. Fondle them.
Yeah, you just start yanking on them until something happens.
The dad's like, I'm going to see if I can fix this. I think I know how. And he just reaches his hand in and he starts fondling these crystals.
It doesn't take him very long to pull out the right two crystals.
Nope. Turns out all you had to do was just pull them out.
So everybody's headache goes away. Scarface disappears?
Yeah.
So I guess he's never a problem ever again in the future?
Yes, he was always a dream.
I'm going to assume so.
They solve the problem just as quickly as they discover that there is a problem. Oh, look, Sleestak technology. Oh, look, we fixed it. The end.
Pterodactyl attack! Yes.
No, but before that, the dad says, no wonder 3D movies never caught on. Too much of a good thing. Like, that explains like, everything. What the
hell? That's...
Like, oh, is that what dreams are? 3D movies? He's lived in the past for too long. He's forgotten about all technology.
Must be.
Land of the Lost.
So where the fuck is Krista?
Nope.
Nowhere. We still don't know. We have no idea. She's don't care. Flea stack. Insignificant.
Apparently underground where they live. Guess we'll find out on the next episode of Vital Information for the Land of the Lost.
I hope you're all down with our sudden switch over to it being exclusive.
Sponsored by Surge.
Always. So, did we come away with any morals or lessons? I don't feel like this show was trying to teach us anything today.
Don't eat fake fruit.
Strong.
Don't wish for things that...
Ever. Just don't wish
for things. Yeah, don't wish for things, because if it magically appears in front of you, it's probably poison.
It's a trap.
All right.
Things.
Mine is
hand job skills are more important than you think.
That is very true.
Don't ever watch 3D movies. Right. They'll come to life.
Always fix the carburetor.
Right. Because
driving is way more effective than walking.
Because you can't count on your good-for-nothing son to do it for you.
Yeah.
Fix your own goddamn carburetor. Good moral.
Fucking Kevin.
If fucking you're going Kevin. If you're going on a camping trip, definitely don't forget to bring your... solar powered television.
Don't bring Kevin.
Don't bring Kevin.
Bring at least 2 to 3 televisions.
What about Stink?
Don't bring all stink. The batteries I want you stink. Can find.
Stink's a hero.
Stink is a horrible monster.
Not as horrible as Tasha. Tasha's nightmare.
I think I'm in the stink train. I don't like stink at all.
I don't know which one I'd like to leave.
They're both awful.
Stink will save your life, though.
Tasha will just continue eating all of the food.
Tasha was made me more uncomfortable to look at. But she really had a better personality.
It was Stink. My favorite part of Stink is how you could see the person playing his hands so clearly. Especially when he was, like, picking up fruit. Like, they could have sprung for some gloves or glued some hair to the knuckles. But no, it's, like, very clearly a hairy sleeve and then a human hand sticking out. That's terrible.
This show is so great, you guys. Like, I am so excited that we watch a show. I am definitely going to watch more of them. I found it very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the theme song, especially. It's oh, just man. A classic.
It's so good. So, I did find out a little bit of information about this show.
Vital?
Yes. Vital information that you really need to know. As we said, it originally aired on ABC. And then also I think it not only it was aired on Nickelodeon, but maybe another channel additionally too. Like it seemed like they really shopped around with the networks on this one. If they had made the original reboot that they were talking about, it was going to feature adult versions of the characters from the original show. So it was going to feature an adult Holly, the daughter from the original show.
And they would still be like trapped in the past or whatever.
Yeah. That's
so bleak.
Yeah. So, but apparently casting difficulties made that impossible. So they kind of re-envisioned adult Holly as Krista, I guess, which is why she's from the 1960s.
Okay. Now, Krista, we will explain who Krista is because we did not get to learn it today.
She was described on, okay, please forgive me, podcast listeners, but she was described on the internet as a quote-unquote jungle woman from the 1960s.
A sexy
jungle woman. We did not look up any real additional information about Krista, but I guess that was originally going to be the adult Holly, so that's why she exists on the show.
Okay.
She was MIA this episode, though, so...
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Would have given us some problematic stuff to talk about, but we didn't really run into any of that today.
Yeah. No. So, this show has never been released to DVD or Blu-ray, as you can imagine. It seems like pretty much all of the episodes were available on YouTube.
It's like no one's trying to stop it at all.
But they did release the first season on VHS in 2-episode tapes, so you'd have to buy a lot of tapes to
get any of those at home, Sam?
Right? No. I've never seen a single one of those tapes, and I look at VHSs everywhere I go, so...
We'll link the YouTube video to the to the episode on our website, so keep an eye out for that. You can watch before or watch after, depending on your preference. I'm not going to tell you what to do, listener, so thanks for listening anyway.
You know, maybe you want to enjoy watching Land of the Lost while you're eating a delicious bowl of Raisin Bran.
You know I do.
With your brothers and sisters. And literally, your coach and your dad and your principal.
As a teenage boy, literally the only thing I want in my life is more fucking raisins. I just can't get enough.
And maybe so many raisins, right?
Maybe some Nintendo's Cruisin' USA,
perhaps. Maybe.
I mean, that's not as important as the raisins, well, but it's up there. Yeah. Yes, folks, today we have viewed a Raisin Bran commercial. We went with the 1995 year for this one, which is what it would have aired on Nickelodeon. So this is a Raisin Bran commercial from 1995. We meet a very strange little boy
who loves raisins.
He loves raisins, and he also loves sitting in his room with poster-sized photos of various people in his life
with cutouts for him to stick his own mouth through.
Clutch Cargo style poster cutouts that he can stick his mouth into and make them talk.
That's serial killer behavior, folks. He's got posters of not just his dad and his sister, you know, people you would normally have poster size photos of.
We all
not do. Just family, but he's also got his coach, a librarian that he may or may not know in real life. He's just got these black and white photos, and he's cut their little mouths
people he's murdered.
So he can hold them up to his face.
Do you get a lot of this? Less this, less that. All these people telling him what to do.
Adults versus kids again, you guys.
Holding them down.
He's holding these cutouts up to his mouth, and he's berating himself. You like fun too much.
Yes. Stop holding that boombox and eat more bran.
Adults suck. Kids forever. Right. It is kind of an ongoing theme we keep seeing in a lot of the commercials.
He just all keeps of the 90s talking was. About sweet, chewy raisins. It's got a whole lot of what you want. Does it?
If you want a poo.
If you want a fibery breakfast full of delicious raisins, it's got everything you need and want.
I wish these people in his life would have given him the love and affection that he needed so he wouldn't have to speak through their disembodied mouths.
If only they had validated his feelings about raisins before he murdered them.
So this commercial features...
He got dark here.
Right? This commercial features the complete breakfast we're used to seeing in cereal commercials. The one that comes with a full bowl of cereal... accompanied with toast, a glass of milk, a glass of orange juice, and an additional pitcher of milk.
Full pitcher of milk. So you have to drink like a gallon and a quart of milk for this to be a complete breakfast. I don't think I can drink that much milk all at once. I don't think so.
But if you don't, then the cereal is actually leaching nutrients from your body, so it's the only way to counteract the damage.
Why is it necessary to eat a bran cereal with a slice of whole wheat toast? That doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, I don't know.
How stopped up are these kids? I mean, I guess, like,
well,
you
they
know,
otherwise only eat sugar.
All we ate was sugar back then, so I guess the Raisin Bran was necessary.
Yeah, when we watch these commercials, like, I'll tell you guys, it's seriously, like, 90% cereal commercials, and most of them are super, super, super sugary. So at least this is the slightly healthier option.
I feel like they only made this commercial because the California raisins time had come to an end. We need a
like
new
the death
way.
Rattle.
Right. We need a new way to market raisins to children.
I know. We'll use video games because with each box of Raisin Bran that you would buy, you'd get 12 free plays of the Cruisin' USA race car video game. Get it? Racing cars?
It's full of raisins!
No. They kind of sound the same. I don't know, pun-based advertising should be illegal.
I wanted to point out that this weird child had an entire wall of different colors of baseball caps. They were like arranged, like in color. Yeah,
they were all full of raisins.
Probably.
I love how at the end too, after like they show the kid playing this racing game, he's got like hair straight up in the air. He's like
the gel is like still wet in the hair.
It's extreme with the capital X.
Extreme. Yeah, definitely with an X. Like,
if you want a cereal that has two scoops of what you want, and if what you want is raisins.
Extreme raisins!
I can't ever think of a time where what I want is two scoops of raisins.
Right? I don't even like to eat raisins. Yeah. They hurt my teeth.
They're like... Like, raisins in food are like surprise bugs to me. They're like just like...
You know, I was like enjoying eating this until there was a hard, chewy lump in it.
No. I'm not anti-raisin, but...
Bill and I like raisins. We do the ants on a log, and he loves Raisin Bran. That's like... Yeah, so
it's a quality cereal, for sure, but maybe not the most kid-friendly cereal in the world.
No.
That's why they needed skater punks to try and sell it.
Yeah.
Kids are eating 80% less raisins than they were.
Well, you know, I really feel like we could corner that future cereal killer market.
Cereal killer.
He is a cereal killer.
Get me my cutout poster. I have an idea for the ad campaign.
I'm sure that sold so much more Raisin Bran.
So much Raisin Bran.
Like 5 boxes.
Yes.
Well, you got those Cruisin' USA. Okay, I mean, that's worth the cereal and all the diarrhea right there. So.
No, there was enough bran in there to bind you back
up. I'm going to the arcade next week. I gotta eat all this Raisin Bran before then, so I can have like 36 free games.
He's gonna be crazy.
Mom, by all the Raisin Bran they have, it's got what I want.
Well, I don't know what it is. He just really is into raisins right now. Last week it was all marshmallows, but we've gone through 5 boxes of Raisin Bran. I bet he's going to have a growth spurt.
You know what's weird is I haven't heard from his father or his sister or the librarian for a long time, but man, does he eat a lot of Raisin Bran. It's a healthy, growing boy.
She hears, like, coming from his bedroom, be quiet. Oh, there's the librarian. He must have invited her over for a bowl of Raisin Bran.
Mom's next if she doesn't keep buying the Raisin Bran.
Keep it coming.
We have fun.
He's got a bran habit, that kid. Oh, well, listeners.
I don't think I have anything else to say about Raisin Bran today.
We thoroughly covered it.
Every time I think of Raisin Bran, I think of this stupid commercial that was on like 10 years ago. That, like, the kids are sitting down eating cereal, and then this guy bursts through the wall, and they're like, Johannes Brahms! And it's Raisin Brahms. Have you guys ever seen this stupid commercial?
I think you dreamed this commercial.
I did not, I assure you.
If you dream it, it'll come
true. Did you wake up and you had a bowl of Raisin Bran sitting on the hood of your car?
Oh, I dreamed it and it came true. 2 scoops of what I wanted.
Beautiful.
That's the real moral of
today's moral is that you need to eat enough Raisin Bran to keep yourself regular. We care about you, listener.
It's true. We know that if you're listening to this show, you're probably in your 30s like us, and it's time to start thinking about your health in ways that maybe you haven't before.
For your health.
So eat some Raisin Bran.
Eat some fiber once in a while. That's today's moral.
It's good to be regular.
It's true. You have to start thinking about these things, listener.
Right.
I'm always thinking about it.
As a mother, I'm constantly worried about whether everyone is regular and how many raisins they eat on a daily basis.
You have a tally.
Yeah, I keep a journal. I call all my friends and family every day.
Do you know how many raisins I've eaten today?
36?
God damn it, that's creepy.
I'm picturing you using an abacus.
The abacus is made out of raisins.
We have to stop.
Okay.
This is fun.
Yeah. Okay, oxygen.
All right, guys. All right. Now that the oxygen has returned to our bodies, it's been great. This is episode 23.
Woo!
All right.
Episode 23.
23.
In the bag.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us, Sam. Did you have fun?
Yeah, this is delightful. Listeners, it was great talking in your general direction.
Aw.
Is there anything you want to plug? That's what you do when you have guests on podcasts, right?
Tell us about how
you have a gig or like
some kind of appearance coming up.
Fine. Yeah. I'll give a shout out to my girl Kim.
Woo Kim.
Woo Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
She's good people.
And shout out to Martha and shout out to my boy Eric, who is gonna get married to me later this year.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Hooray for marriage.
Yeah.
Hooray for marriage. Only if he listens to our podcast.
I'll make him.
He'll listen to this one.
I'd like to say hi to Billy.
Yeah.
He's in the basement right now.
Giving us moral support. Keeping the dog, that one.
Maybe we ought to have him as a guest one of these times.
You should totally do that.
Right now he's wrangling the bulldogs from interrupting us, but...
What a mensch.
He is. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We had a lot of fun. Thanks again, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know how you feel about raisins.
Find us on the social medias. Email us. Come see us again for episode 24.
Nick.